Thank you, Director. My presentation will be on Goliad's native son, Don Carlos de la Garza, a relatively obscure figure, as most Goliad Tejano figures are during the Revolution. I will cover his activities before, during, and after the Revolution. Also, the role of Goliad's militia, La Guardia Victorianos, in the defeat of Texian forces in Goliad, and the conditions they survived after the Battle of San Jacinto. Don Carlos de la Garza was born at Presidio Nuestra Señora Santa María de Loreto de la Bahía del Espíritu Santo, better known as La Bahía at Goliad in 1807, to José Antonio and Rosalia de la Garza. At the time of his birth, his parents were in possession of the original de la Garza ranch. He married Tomasita García in 1829. In 1834, he obtained a Mexican land grant to 1 1/4 leagues of land, which included the old De La Garza Ranch and Ferry Crossing, located on the north bank of the San Antonio River between Goliad and the Gulf of Mexico. The ranch and community that developed around it came to be known in Texas history as Carlos Ranch and Ferry Crossing. The roads from the ferry led to Goliad, Victoria, Refugio, Texana, and the Gulf ports of La Vaca and Copano Bays. The ranch served as a place of refuge for the citizens of Goliad, Victoria, and Refugio during difficult and dangerous times before, during, and after the Texas Revolution. During the Texas Revolution, Don Carlos supplied Texian forces in Goliad with horses, cattle, and carts. However, and somewhat to the surprise of the Texian forces, Don Carlos actively supported the Mexican cause and army of General Jose Urrea. After the Revolution, the Republic's army under General Albert Sidney Johnson was headquartered at the ranch, and it served as a post for the Texas Rangers. The Roman Catholic Vicentian priests in Victoria made the ranch their headquarters after the Great Comanche Raid on Victoria in 1840. Carlos Ranch was a refuge for all. By the 1830s, the Carlos Ranch was a thriving community. It was composed of a Santa Gertrudis Church, a school, blacksmith shop, commissary, barrel house, and ferry crossing. Don Carlos lived in a double log cabin. Approximately 70 families were living on the ranch and in the vicinity. The Tejano enclave was home to the Badeños, the men of La Bahía and their families. They were among the world's best horsemen. They raised, broke, and trained horses. These Spanish families from the Goliad missions controlled the largest herds of cattle and horses known to history. Estimates have put the number of cattle at over 40,000 at Misión Nuestra Señora del Espíritu Santo de Zúñiga and 30,000 at Misión Nuestra Señora del Rosario, both missions located in Goliad. The presidial soldiers of La Bahía were children and grandchildren of 18th century Spanish military families from the San Antonio River Valley that provided American Revolution hero and Spanish General Bernardo de Galvez over 10,000 head of cattle and horses. The Longhorns and Mustangs were driven east from La Bahía to Louisiana by Spanish rancheros and soldiers. General Galvez supplied American patriots with these cattle and horses. These herds sustained General Galvez's victorious campaign over British strongholds along the entire Gulf Coast and the Bahamas Islands. In 1834, Irishmen and Mexican empresarios James Power and James Hewitson received their land grant from the Mexican government. The old Spanish Villa of Refugio became the center of the predominantly Irish colony. Carlos Ranch, along with other existing Mexican ranches, fell within the newly formed colony. By all accounts, Don Carlos welcomed and accommodated his new neighbors. This was not the case with all native Tejanos. There were cultural, political, and religious differences between the newly arrived colonists and the Tejanos. Many assumed that the Power and Hewitson colonies were Irish and Roman Catholics, as were all Tejanos. This was not the case. The Power and Hewitson colony was to be settled by Irish Roman Catholic immigrants, but a cholera epidemic in 1834 decimated nearly half of the newly arrived Irish colonists. The empresarios petitioned the Mexican government to allow others to take their place, and permission was granted. Among the replacement colonists were Germans, English, Scots, Canadians, and North American Protestants. Many learned the necessary skills required to survive in their new country from Don Carlos and the residents of his community. Among Don Carlos's closest friends and neighbors were the family of Nicholas Fagan and Tom O'Connor. This was a friendship to be tested on the battlefields, executions, and forced expatriations of the revolution. The capture of Goliath by George Collinsworth and subsequent occupation by Philip DeMitt and Colonel James Fannin thrust Don Carlos into the Texas Revolution. The revolution began over constitutional issues between Federalist and Centralist forces. The Federalists favored the Mexican Constitution of 1824. The Centralists sided with President Santa Anna. A Federalist government under the Mexican Constitution of 1824 was in the best interest of the Tejanos. However, Don Carlos found himself unable to side with the Texian revolutionaries against the centralist forces of President Santa Anna. Colonel Fannin and his men's mistreatment of the De La Garzas and the citizens of Goliad contributed to this allegiance to Mexico. During the Anglo occupation of Goliad, Fannin's men clashed with its citizens. They crashed, robbed, and plundered homes. Some of the Americans broke into homes and molested women. One of Fannin's officers, with Lieutenant William Merrifield, kicked in all the doors on both sides of one street in a single act of terror. The kicking in of doors earned Fannin's men the nickname of Mesteños, or Mustangs, by the citizens of Goliad. Colonel Fannin's newly arrived liberators prompted Don Carlos to lead the families of Goliad to his ranch for their safety. By 1836, Don Carlos was a captain in the Mexican army. He commanded a militia of about 200 Tejanos known as La Guardia Victorianos, in the tradition of the Tejano Compañía Volantes, or Flying Squadrons. Composed of Mexican soldiers, Badeños, and Carrancoa Indians, they were a well-disciplined frontier guard, very familiar with the countryside. The Tejano Compañía Volantes were the result of the Spanish military legacy and experience with the Indians, particularly the mounted Comanche. Don Carlos provided General José Urrea's advancing army intelligence on Fannin's troop count and activities. His ranch came under Anglo suspicion as a nest of Mexican spies. Fannin sent his forces against Carlos' ranch at least twice and captured several residents of the community, including their priests, Father José Antonio Valdez. Fannin alienated and underestimated the importance of these Spanish military families. In early March 1836, La Guardia Victorianos went on the offensive and raided Refugio, initiating a series of engagements known as the Battle of Refugio. While his men raided Refugio, Don Carlos continued to San Patricio, where he established contact with General Urrea. The timing of the raid on Refugio coincided with General Urrea's defeat of Texian forces at the Battle of Agua Dulce and San Patricio, and as Fannin was preparing his retreat to Victoria. Fannin delayed his retreat and responded to Don Carlos' activities by sending Kentuckian Ammon King and 28 men to Refugio on March the 10th. After gathering the families on the 12th, and despite his orders to return immediately, King set out to engage a band of Mexicans camped out on the Esteban Lopez Ranch on the Mission River below Refugio. Finding the ranch uninhabited, he burned it down. Upon his return, he led his men directly into an ambush on the outskirts of Refugio set by Don Carlos. He was forced to retreat into Nuestra Señora del Refugio Mission, where he took refuge and sent word for help. In what proved to be a disastrous move, Fannin dispatched Georgian William Ward and the Georgia Battalion to relieve King's command, which La Guardia Victorianos held under siege at the Refugio Mission. Ward and some 120 men successfully reinforced King on the evening of the 13th. The two quarreled over who held command, King on the basis that he was first on the ground and Ward by virtue of his rank. This quarrel divided their men. Meanwhile, the Mexican cavalry under Captain Rafael Pretalia was reinforcing La Guardia Victorianos. Both King and Ward managed to escape under cover of night. However, their freedom was temporary. Ammon King's company managed to escape during the night of the 13th. On the morning of the 14th, after ambushing and killing 8 Mexicans, King found his way back to the mission barred by General Urrea's army. The Mexicans forced King to defend himself in a motte on the south bank of the Mission River. He put up a fight that lasted from late morning until dark. Again, under cover of night, King and his men escaped. At dawn on the 15th, Don Carlos and La Guardia Victorianos overtook them at the John Malone Ranch. Among King's men was his friend and neighbor, Nicholas Fagan. Don Carlos released Nicholas and instructed him to return home out of the revolution. Don Carlos took the remaining prisoners, tied them with a single rope, and marched them back to Refugio. Don Carlos handed King and his men over to General Urrea. The next day, King and his men were led out and shot by German-born Lieutenant Colonel Johann Holzinger. General Urrea and Colonel Holzinger spared 2 Germans and 6 Refugio colonists from execution. William Ward's company also managed to escape during the night of the 13th. However, Don Carlos and General Urrea had learned from a courier captured with written orders from Colonel Fannin instructing Ward to retreat to Victoria from Refugio. The courier was released, allowing Fannin's order to reach Ward in Refugio. Don Carlos's men and the Mexican cavalry pursued the Georgia battalion to Victoria. Ward emerged at Victoria only to find it occupied by Urrea's forces. Exhausted, famished, and without ammunition, the Georgia battalion voted to surrender. The Battle of Refugio is one of the lesser-known engagements of the Texas Revolution. However, its consequences are significant. Fannin disastrously split his forces and delayed his retreat to Victoria for a week as a result of Don Carlos' activities. King's refusal to return to Goliad before engaging Don Carlos set the stage for the defeat of Texian forces under Fannin's command. Though Ward successfully reinforced King, the two quarreled over who held command. This quarrel further delayed Fannin's retreat to Victoria, allowing General Urrea to overcome Fannin at the Battle of Coleto. King's insubordination of Fannin's command resulted in his defeat and execution. The Texian campaign of 1836 concluded with the execution of Fannin's men as pirates in accordance with Mexico's Tornel Decree. Mexican President General Santa Anna ordered the execution of the perfidious foreigners, overruling General Urrea's order to treat the prisoners with consideration, especially their leader, Fannin. The intelligence Don Carlos provided General Urrea, along with the activities of La Guardia Victorianos in the Battle of Refugio, played a significant role in the events that led to Fannin's defeat. After Fannin's surrender, Don Carlos intervened and saved from execution his friends and neighbors captured with Fannin. Among those known spared from execution by Don Carlos were John and Nicholas Fagan, James Byrne, Edward Perry, John, and Anthony Cedric. Nicholas Fagan escaped execution a second time. Don Carlos found himself with a victorious Mexican army of General Urrea on the March the 20th after the Battle of Coleto. A month later, on April the 21st, he found himself with a defeated. Following General Santa Anna's defeat and capture at San Jacinto. General Sam Houston's victory over General Santa Anna preceded a dark period in Victoria, Goliad, and Refugio history for local citizens of Spanish and Mexican descent. This began in June 1836. Tejano families on both sides of the Texas Revolution were removed from their homes and expatriated to Mexico and Louisiana. General Thomas Rusk, now commanding the Texian army in Victoria, directed his soldiers to read the edict to Don Carlos at his ranch and carry out the order. Don Carlos and his Texian friends were waiting. The soldiers read him the orders, directing him to leave his home. Don Carlos listened and ignored the edict. His friends stepped in and told the soldiers, "You can read it to him, but you don't touch him." After the Battle of San Jacinto, the the country changed overnight from the Spanish culture to that of the Anglo-American. Anglo-American veterans and newcomers were quick to settle and claim the most desirable tracts of land in Victoria, Goliath, and Refugio. In his memoirs, De Leon colonist John Lynn wrote, "After the burial of the remains of Fannin's men, General Rusk returned to Victoria. A great number of his men were newcomers and required the utmost exertion of their general to control them. Their creed was a total extermination of the Mexican race and the appropriation of their property to the individual use of the exterminator." Of the lawless conditions in Goliad, historian and Texian Army Lieutenant John Brown wrote, "A group of 20 of these men met in a Goliad public house and planned to burn down Carlos Ranch and take all the cattle." In an 1839 official army report to the Secretary of War, Lieutenant Brown writes, "When I arrived in Victoria, I found it filled with a set of men who had given themselves the titles of a band of brothers. I soon found that what they said was law. They are all in the cow-stealing business and are scattered all over the frontier. Mr. Cornelius Van Ness of Victoria says he thinks Judge James Allen at Carlos Ranch is silently connected with him. I have been told that they drove off from Carlos Ranch a caballarda belonging to Jose Aldrete and Colonel Juan Seguin, and the owners know well where the property is, but dare not recover it. Also, the cow stealers went on the Nueces the other day, took a party of Mexican traders, all their property, and killed 8 of them." After the Texas Revolution, Don Carlos retired to private life. Respected but resented for his role during the Revolution, he was not molested. He remained overseeing his farming and livestock operations, fighting Indians, and running his commissary and operating his ferry. Carlos Ranch continued to be a communal refuge from Indians and desperados. The citizens of Goliad, Victoria, and Refugio retreated there during difficult times. Vicentian priest John O'Dean, who was to be named the first bishop of Texas, noted in his early travels to the region that the population of Carlos Ranch exceeded the population of Victoria, Refugio, and Goliad combined. The ranch served as the Refugio County seat several times. Don Carlos sheltered families from Goliad and Refugio during the Indian raids and the Mexican invasion of 1842. During this Mexican invasion, Lieutenant Colonel Ramon Valera established his headquarters at Rancho de las Mujeres between San Patricio and Goliad and operated against Refugio and Goliad. Another particularly violent episode was the murder of De La Garza neighbors, Jonathan Gillian and his wife, by the Comanches. The Indians captured the couple's children, Rebecca and Williams. Don Carlos, Nicholas Fagan, and Tom O'Connor rescued the children from the San Antonio River bottom, where the Indians left them for dead after spearing the boy and knocking the girl unconscious. The orphan children were taken to Carlos Ranch. Don Carlos participated in the Battle of Hinds Bay in 1852, the region's last engagement between Texans and the Karankawa Indians. About 30 volunteers engaged the Karankawa at Hinds Bay. The Karankawa, who survived the battle, agreed to leave the country. The ranch became part of Victoria County upon the Refugio and Victoria County boundary change of 1846. By the time of Don Carlos' death in 1882, Carlos Ranch had virtually ceased to exist. Records indicate that a post office named Carlos, Texas existed at the site until 1886. Among those to find refuge on the old ranch was a wild man of Navidad. Jimbo was an African slave owned by Sir Brian Lewis of Victoria. The old ranch was home to Punta, as the African-American was known to De La Garza from 1865 until his death in 1884. The ranch was home to present-day Victoria families by the names of Ibarbo, Flores, De Los Santos, Hernandez, Olivares, Moyas, Vasquez, Tijerinas, and others. Don Carlos and Tomasita had 2 sons and 1 daughter. Rafael Carlos was born in 1831, and Vicente was born in 1833. Refugia was born in 1843. The last major landowner of Carlos Ranch was Julia Ibarbo, widow of first cousins Rafael and Jesus, both grandsons of Don Carlos. Julia was a seventh generation Tejana born in Nacogdoches, Texas, and direct descendant of Antonio Gilibar, who was Spanish Lieutenant Governor of Texas and founder of Nacogdoches. Julia and the Ibarbo family came into control of Carlos Ranch after the death of her second husband. Don Carlos was a product of the Spanish military and colonization in Texas. He was born Spaniard and he died American. His lifetime spanned 5 or 6 flags that flew over Texas, those of Spain, Mexico, the Republic of Texas, the Confederate States of America, and the United States of America. He lived during Mexico's first attempt for independence during Father Miguel Hidalgo's failed campaign of 1810 and the success of Agustin de Iturbe and Vicente Guerrero during the Plan of Iguala in 1821. The filibuster campaigns and captures of Goliad by the Gutierrez-McGee invasion of 1812, the failed campaign by Henry Perry in 1817, and James Long expedition of 1821. In 1824, he saw the colonization of San Felipe de Austin by Stephen F. Austin and Martin de Leon's colonization of Victoria. He survived the cholera epidemic of 1834, the Texas Revolution of 1836, the Comanche Raid of 1840, the Mexican invasion of Rafael Vazquez and Adrian Wool, the Cart Wars of 1857, the Civil War, and the fever epidemic of 1867. Don Carlos died in 1882. Tomasita, his venerable wife of 53 years, died in 1897. He died crippled by an arrow wound, and she died blinded by age. Both died on the old ranch. Don Carlos was a soldier, pioneer, cattleman, farmer, patriot, and Texas stalwart. He took with him in death the history of the early 19th century Texas in the Goliad, Victoria, and Refugio region, especially during the Texas Revolution. He was the one major participant who witnessed and survived the events leading up to the Texas Revolution and its aftermath from both Texian and Mexican perspective. The region's history certainly would have taken a different role had someone recorded his memoirs of this tumultuous era. He was among the last surviving participants of the Texas Revolution. Don Carlos Saber now rests in the museum at Goliad's Presidio de la Bahía, his birthplace. Don Carlos and Tomasita are well known for their numerous baptismal sponsorships. One of many couples asked Don Carlos and Tomasita to sponsor the baptism of their child were Miguel Zaragoza and Maria Seguin. Miguel was a captain in the Mexican army garrisoned at Goliad, and Maria Seguin was the aunt of San Jacinto Colonel Juan Seguin. Their son, Ignacio, would lead the Mexican army at Puebla 26 years later. It was General Ignacio Zaragoza who gave us Cinco de Mayo. The De La Garza family military history dates from the service to the Spanish Royal Crown to the military of the United States of America. The family has a loyal history of allegiance to the homeland. Don Carlos's ancestors' allegiance was to Spain. During the Texas Revolution, Don Carlos' allegiance was to Mexico. It was his right and duty as a Mexican citizen and soldier in the Mexican army. However, loyalty to his friends and neighbors was first and above all military matters. During the Republic of Texas, Don Carlos' allegiance was to Texas. He sheltered fellow Texian families during the Mexican invasion of 1842. During the Civil War, the De La Garza family allegiance was with the Confederacy. Rafael Carlos, firstborn son of Don Carlos and Tomasita, fought and died in service to the Confederacy. Don Carlos and Tomasita's descendants fought and died in World War I, World War II. They served in Korea and Vietnam. Victoria's first casualty during the second Iraqi invasion is a direct descendant of Don Carlos. Army Corporal Lipe Graza III sustained serious injury and lost an arm in combat. De La Garza's sons and now daughters always have been and are today in military service to the United States of America. That's it. Thank you.